Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
For joining me today. It's Monday. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. It's Monday, March 13th, and we're still celebrating Women's Herstory Month. Yes, her story is as important and maybe a little bit more important than his story, because his story is not always correct. So we're speaking with community activist Dr. G today, and you will be pleasantly surprised at what you hear. And we are just here to start your week off with the mindfulness meditation coming up at 7:15. So be sure and forward this video to someone. Happy Earth Day, birthday, born day. If you're celebrating a birthday, we're celebrating it with you. How old are you today? Even more importantly, how did you feel today? That's the big question, because that can be changed if you're not feeling it 100%. In the news, Lord have mercy, the bank bailout, Signature Bank, and the Silicon Valley Banks. in trouble. I knew this about a couple of months ago because I had to go to the bank and some money disappeared. And I was like, oh, okay, so I will not be putting any more money in here. And I was right. So you got some money in the bank. It's FDIC insured. But what you do with your money, that's your business. I'm just sharing with you what my experience was and what's going on in the world, so you determine who you let hold your money. Okay. And if you are joining us today, if you are listening online, you can join us on our YouTube channel on Higher Learning TV Show and on our Facebook channel, Higher Learning TV Show. Now, if you are headed out and about this morning, that's another story because, honey, I'm looking at the news this morning and there is just traffic everywhere. I don't care where you look, it's chaos and confusion. Here we go. Yes, you will know it is a hot mess outside, and how do you get rid of the hot mess? You don't. You deal with it. Traffic and Weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. If you are a business owner or entrepreneur and you have products or services to offer, then look at the number below, the information below, and you can join itex.com. itex is a site for those who have something to offer, and you can get anything that you need just like in any of the big box stores, and you don't pay money. You don't pay cash. You pay IRS treasured dollars. It's barter dollars. So, yeah, the IRS has their nose in everything. So you need to know you're not going to get into trouble because it's cash. It's recognized as cash, I should say. So just contact the information below, Karen Kelly at itex.com. As we take a look at your weather, mostly cloudy and cold, blistery day outside today, on and off snow flurries today. Tomorrow, 36 degrees, yay! Above 32, that's always good, but it's decent, 35 degrees today, but down to 22 tonight, so it's going to be cold. On Metra and CTA, there are no delays, but it is getting lighter earlier and darker later. So daylight saving times is here. It started Sunday, and I hope you're enjoying that extra hour of light. As we take a look at the inbound on the Kennedy, it is a hot mess. Don't even head in that direction. 39 minutes inbound. At outbound, it's horrible. At Washington, there's a crash. Expect delays that way. Also at North Avenue past Cumberland Avenue headed out to O'Hare, there's an accident there, 27 outbound. Inbound on the Eaton's 24, 21 on the reverse. On the Eisenhower, it's over an hour and a half and an hour and 33 minutes on the outbound. So it just avoid the Ike at all costs. First Avenue, there's an accident causing gaper delays. On the Stevenson, it's 35 minutes inbound. Slow at Harlem due to an accident there, hitting the brakes. Of course, there's gapers delayed. And 16 minutes on the reverse. On the Dan Ryan, your usual 21 in, 14 out. On the Bishop Ford, 11 in and 9 out. And DuSable Lakeshore Drive, it is 10 minutes in and 9 minutes out. And that's your traffic and weather, sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. Be sure and check it out because you will be glad that you did. Now, you know I have to talk about setting those DVRs for the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. Set those DVRs, and you will see some very interesting. Tell you what they are, but I promise you they are very interesting. And speaking of interesting, I have got to share with you what's going on in my life. I have the pleasure and honor to be, I guess you could say, a custodian, guardian to those who are not celebrating warmth this morning like we are because, excuse me, it's cold outside and they don't have a roof over their head. So you know my mission is to help the homeless keep warm. And if you go to our Instagram page, you will see this, hln.homeless.project. And we are always on the lookout for those who have the ability to share their blessings. And this was our last delivery, but you can always go to the page and see what's going on there. That's a food delivery I made. And the food is donated by the Chicago Food Depository through the organization that I volunteer with at the European American Association. That's EAAChicago.org. And you can go and see this on your own, but I just thought I'd share that with you. If you would like to donate to the homeless, please feel free to do so and share this site with others. All donations are tax deductible, and they are. Do I have that information down there for you? You can pay using Zelle, Venmo, a Cash App, Zelda Speaks. And the number two, Venmo, is Higher Learning Network NSP. And Zelle, you've got to email me, ZeldaSpeaks@gmail.com, because that's can't get that out over the air. And PayPal, Higher Learning NW@yahoo.com. So give thanks that you were one of the ones who was able to keep warm last night and not be out in the cold. So count your blessings. And thank you for being a blessing this morning by sharing this information with someone else. And now it is that time of the day. If you are anyone like myself and you had a tendency to eat a little bit too much, you could be a diabetic, especially if it's a lot of sugar. So that's something you want to be aware of. Go to diabeticdonut.com and download the free. Do you hear me? I didn't ask you for a dime because it's an epidemic. And I want people to be well, and I want you to be well. So go to diabeticdonut.com and download the free ebook on how I reverse type 2 diabetes, and I also share how I got it. I think you know how I got it, but little story around that. Anyway, it is time for our Monday morning mindfulness meditation. And you know what that means? It's some quiet time for you and for me, because 9 times out of 10, we go rushing through the day and we don't take the time to do the thing that we need to do. And that is spend some time with self. If you are looking to improve the quality of your life, then this is what you want to do. You want to spend some time with us doing Monday morning mindfulness meditation. So let us begin the process. We will simply sit up straight, feet flat on the floor. If you're lying in the bed, that's okay too. And just give thanks for the power of the breath. And you will hear this from time to time. And that's to bring you back into focus, because your mind has to wander, all the to-do lists, the things that you have to do today. And we want to spend this time with ourselves, quiet time, before all the chaos and confusion starts for the day. So we simply breathe in to the count of 5 through the nose and hold it. And then when we blow it out, we're going to through the mouth, because we want to release all of that tension we've built up over the day, the night, the week, and just let it out. Okay, so let us begin the process of breathing in and breathing out. And you should not be looking at me. You should be looking. It's time for our Monday morning mindfulness. Ooh, how did that happen? This is what I'm looking for. Thank you. respiratory problems. Breathe in. Turn from side to side, yeah. Give those inner organs a little wash. Give them some activity too. Out. Moving the body, giving thanks. Breathe. Forward. We are simply delighted to be among the have. I ain't talking about the can you smoke. I'm talking and breathe out during that. That we are and blow it out. Stretch in the right. And as you blow it out, right as far. Bring the head back. Doesn't that feel good? Inhale once more. Just activated. I'm breathing. Goodness is going on in his head up here. Share this with someone, as I remind you that there is an opportunity for you to not only take care of yourself, but to help others. And how will you do that? You can simply be a higher learning leader. What's a higher learning leader, Zelda? Well, let me show you what a higher learning leader is. And a higher learning leader is someone who meditates to activate. And that's what this is. You can meditate to activate the power that is within you. And these are the t-shirts that we offer in which you can purchase. And they are, $25 donation to higherlearningnetwork.org. And you can wear these t-shirts. Now, when you look in the mirror, see, fashion designers know this and you don't. You have the opportunity to make a difference not only in your life, but that of someone else. And this is another one. One of my favorites. And it's called Inhale Wealth. Mm-hmm. Let's do that one together. Inhale Wealth. And Exhale Faith. Here's another faith. Inhale Faith. Come on now, breathe with me. And Exhale Fear. Oh, I love them all, but you can go to our website and you can see them because they are there for you to make a difference and find out which one you want. So go to higherlearningnetwork.org and you will see those there. And it is 7:27. I have a few announcements because the world is in such chaos right about now. If you're listening, if you're watching online, please type in comments what city or country or state you're watching from. But I have a couple of PSAs. There's so much mental health issues going on in our community, and we see it all the time. We know people need help. So this is a 24-hour hotline, and I want you to please share this information with someone. The Habilitative Systems, Inc. is located at 4133 West Madison Avenue and also 6845 Southwestern Avenue. They understand and recognize and respond to the effects of trauma. We are all experiencing trauma right now. I need to go for myself so I can share that with others. They include safe spaces, mental health, outpatient, individual group, and family therapy. Oh, Lord, the whole family needs to be there. Yes. Peer recovery, medication, monitoring, psychiatric service referral, social determinants of health screening and referrals, substance abuse, substance use prevention and intervention. And the 24-hour hotline is 773-745-2620. And that information will be on my blog, zeldasleaf.wordpress.com. That's 773-745-2620. If I talk too fast, I apologize, but it will be on my blog, selfespeaks.wordpress.com. So let me find that for ya. There you go. And last but not least, Social Security 101, everything you want to know. Many people are my age that have Social Security, and there's a free workshop every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and that information... every second Wednesday of the month from 1 until 2 p.m. and then from 2 until 3 there is a Q&A. And you can go to socialsecurity.gov and look up weekly webinar. And that information will be there. But I'll include it on my blog too. But anyway, it is 7:29. At 7:30 we will be joined by, after the 7:30 break, we will be joined by a community activist, Dr. G, and she will be sharing with us information that we need, that you need to know about it. And in the meantime, in between time, you can text us if you'd like to be included in our weekly newsletter of information and inspiration. Is my head right falling off? Yes, it is. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Okay, glad I saw that. 515-605-9325 is the number to call in. But right now you can text Monday Morning Mindfulness to 219-699-2114 for updates. And it's a celebration of women, and that's what we're doing here on the Female Solution. And Barbara Sam says, good morning from Racine, Wisconsin. Hey, Barb. How'd you learn of us, girl? Thank you so much for listening to the Female Solution and the Higher Learning Network show. See, we never know where people are calling or watching from, so thank you so much for sharing this video. And it's time for our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have community activist Dr. G. She has a very interesting name that I don't want to mess it up, so I'm just going to let her tell you what the name is. Okay, all righty, we'll be right back, so stay close.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on The Female Solution.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage or give us a call at 646-359-6605 and we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony and the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773 580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
thank you for joining me back here on The Female Solution. I don't know what is going on with Dr. G. Dr. G, I'm going to have you call in because I sent you the link three times and I don't know what's going on. So if you could be so kind to call in at 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. Dr. G says, good morning, Zelda. And good morning, Barbara. Okay. And also Deborah McPhee. Thank you all. Good morning. Right, Grand Rising, right back to you. Yeah, Dr. G, I don't know what's going on. We can't get the link. I've sent it three times. I don't know what's going on with the email. So all I can do is tell you to call in at 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak because this is not working. As a matter of fact, I've sent the link five times. And why you are not getting it, I have no idea. You know, what I think I'm going to do is, you're just going to have to call in. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. And as soon as I see your number on the switchboard, I will open up your phone. And she's still sending me messages. I'm sending you a message to call in, Dr. G. 515, let me put the number in here, 515-605-9325, and you got to press 1 to speak. Apologies for that, but you know, it's technology. 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. And we are waiting on this wonderful woman here that I've met. I don't remember where I was, some networking event, and she was there, and we had a conversation, and I was like, oh, you need to be on The Female Solution. And she says, oh, sure. And I was like, right on, let's get you to The Female Solution, girl. Okay, Dr. G, waiting on you to call in, 515-605-9325. And this is the blog that you can comment on Blog Talk Radio. Is that snow? Yeah, that is snow outside. BlogTalkRadio.com, The Female Solution. What you're seeing here is our site on the Blog Talk platform, and those are just, if you go, there's Dr. G, there she is. Did I make it in? No, you did not make it in, Dr. G. You have to call me. Oh, there she is, finally. Yay! All right. All right. That was an experience. Yes, it was. Whoo, Lord have mercy. Anything that can go wrong, it did. You've heard the saying, the early bird gets the worm? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't eat worms.
Yeah, neither do I, but, you know, it's just the old saying. But anyway, thank you. We finally got you here. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning on The Female Solution. And we are still celebrating. It's a celebration of women's because it's Women's Her Story Month, not His Story Month. It's her story. Because her story is just as important and even more important than his story, because there's a lot of truths that are left out in history. There's a lot of things that are made up. So let me tell you about this wonderful woman. Why don't I just have this wonderful woman tell you a little bit about herself? Where did we meet at, Dr. G?
We met on Zoom at the Westside Ministers Coalition.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not so sure what prompted you to talk to me, but in any event, I'm involved with the property tax struggle here in the state of Illinois,
specifically
in the Pilsen neighborhood where I live.
Yes.
And I was connected through some of my wonderful students, former students, now graduated, wonderful professionals in the field, women. I was connected to someone who's called the tax doctor.
Yes.
And he, Anthony Travis, and because the Pilsen community was very hard hit with the property taxes, and so, you know, there's a lot to that story, and this was in January, and anyway, so my friend Frances Newman, who graduated from DePaul with her master's degree, I called her and I said, hey, I need someone in the black community because the brown community alone can't do it, but we are rising up and we need more people. And so she connected me. Well, since then, we've become cousins, as you call
it. I love it.
And that means that I've been working my butt off, helping out, you know, he's about as technologically advanced as I am, but together, you know.
We made it happen.
We make it happen. So now we actually, you know, just to finish that story, we actually have quite a gained momentum between the Pilsen community and as far as McHenry to Mokena, and we're really getting people together to understand the root of this unfair taxation system. It's a huge war to fight because we have to change legislation eventually
yes.
to make it fair and equitable for everyone.
Yes.
And there are, to put it politely, many different interests when you follow the money
mm-hmm.
that are keep would like to keep it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, serves many people very well. But it's just an indication of the systemic problem we have in this country, as I see it, you know. And I think when you first phoned me after, you know, Travis invited me to the West Side Ministers, because obviously I'm not a West Side Minister.
Neither am I.
You know, we had a little chat, and you asked me, what do you do? And I think that's what piqued your interest, right?
Right, absolutely. And the fact that you were with Travis, what's his last name?
His last name is Travis.
It's Travis.
Anthony. Uh-huh.
Anthony Travis. How could I forget that? That's my husband's name. Anthony Travis. Because of him, the city of Chicago and surrounding counties in the state of Illinois are now aware of how these taxes are killing us. And he told us about it like a couple of years before
right.
it even started. And now it's here, and now we want to get involved.
Well, you know, I have two big dogs who I hope will be quiet during the session.
Oh, dogs. Well, don't worry, honey. Jody, who's on here on Tuesday morning, she has birds, and the birds sing to us, so just feel free. And I'm learning, thanks to our executive producer, Naima Latif, that there is something called interspecies communication, and the dogs are talking to us. They want to be acknowledged, too. So what's the dog's name? Let's acknowledge them.
Well, one is, if I say it, they probably jump up. So one is Kira, and the other one is Astor. But
Kira,
the point I'm making myself is that I walk them a lot, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I talk to a lot of people on the street. And what I'm hearing with respect to the property tax issue oftentimes is, oh, I'm not into politics. You know?
Wow. Really?
Or, you know, the other response is, well, you know, what can we do? I mean, there is fear, there is hopelessness, there is apathy, and when people meet with something that's overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
they just sort of look away.
Bury their head in the dust.
Yeah. The irony of that is that if we would get our heads out of all these different places, we could probably do something because
right.
we can take some power, you know, and...
And that's the sad part is that we have the power and we don't know it. And we have become so dumbed down. I hate to use that word, but I don't know what else to use. Maybe you can find a nicer word. We've become comfortable. That's a good word. We're too comfortable. Because when we look at the struggles of other city, state, countries, and we see how people, you know, that's them, that's not us, it's really not important, I don't really need to get involved because, you know, I don't really want to be bothered with politics, but politics govern your life.
Well, and you make an excellent point right there. We look at other, you know, people, other sections of town, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know them, we don't see them,
mm-hmm.
we don't acknowledging
mm-hmm.
them,
mm-hmm.
acknowledge them, and so consequently, we don't think it has anything to do with us. And that is precisely what I found when I came to the city, and even the country. I mean, you know, when I first came over from Germany, that there is not really a connection among people.
Say that again.
I don't know how politically we want to get, but I mean, a lot of that is... you know, intentional.
Yeah, there are no restrictions here. You say whatever you feel.
Okay, well, I have said whatever I felt many times, and that resulted many times in being called some names.
Expect that. Expect that when you're doing the work.
I mean, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, when you and I first talked, you know, you asked me, and you made the point here to advertise this as well, this talk, that I came from Germany, and there's a, you know, there's a connection of what I do because of where I come from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, that's something that took me a long time to understand, because I grew up in post-war Germany, in Berlin, you know, which had been completely bombed out. If you see pictures right now of Ukraine, well, double that and triple that, and that was the city I grew up in, right?
Wow.
Well, I'm in the, what they call the post-war cohort, the first 10 years of all the kids who were born after World War II, when it ended in 45, they are called, you know, post-war generation, and that's our cohort. So I'm a baby boomer technically here, but over there we have a very specific name or, you know, denomination, because we grew up in a bombed-out city, in a bombed-out city that, you know, we had, like, we lived in an apartment building that had some apartments left, but one wall was gone, but you dealt with that.
Right.
We were just told not to go into that room so we don't fall out, you know.
Right.
We had an upbringing that was, we didn't know it at the time, but it was pretty rough, you know, and it was pretty poor, and not to, you know, make any claim here that I'm a poor, oppressed person, because obviously I'm a white girl in America. I don't have we didn't have the toys and the things and the food and the, you know, chicken on Sundays, man, that was a big deal. I was the youngest one, so father got the, you know, the drumsticks and then whatever he wanted. Mother got, you know, the breast. Brother got something as well, like daddy did, and then here came the girl. So this is going to be funny to you. So I ended up most of the time with the chicken wings of the chicken, right? Which is really hilarious, because to this day I love chicken wings. So I'm actually...
That's
quite
funny.
Quite happy with the stereotypical stuff that they say about black people. I like my chicken wings, you know.
I love it.
So, you know, but you know, fast forwards to the point that when I did come to America, and when I did come to North America, USA, and when I did come to Chicago, there was a familiarity with a lot of, you know, the people that we normally don't see when you live in one section of town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and originally I came to the suburbs with a husband, and so I hadn't even known about Chicago per se, right? I was up in the northwest suburbs in a little community.
Mm-hmm.
And did some work there. We can talk about that if you're interested. But I want to say something and start out something. I thought about it, you know, when I was half awake this morning, and I grabbed one of the books. When I first came to the city of Chicago, some friends took me driving around to show me the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these were friends that were very strongly, you know, community activists in the Latino and Black communities. So mm-hmm. they drove me to the West Side, and this was in the early 80s, right? And they were, you know, waiting for my reaction as we drove through the bad part of town, right? And so I looked around, and I, you know, and I couldn't help it, but I felt like, wow, it looks familiar. Here I saw a bunch of drunk guys by the bar in the corner, done it, you know, seen it, used to pick daddy up from the bar, right? Post-traumatic stress syndrome, daddy who had been in Russia at 16 years of age, right? German war in Russia. Kids, you know, that were just running in the streets, did that. We were left to our own devices all the time when we were little, you know. My brother was 4 years older, so oftentimes, you know, he would say, okay, we're going to play cowboy and Indian, very popular in Germany at the time, and you're going to be the squaw. Talk about Women's History Month. I was the squaw. And I had to hide behind the bushes and pretend I was cooking for the hunters, the Indians, my brother and his friends, male, who would go out and hunt something. And then I would sit there for hours and play with the dirt.
Did you say with the dirt?
Yeah, because I was cooking, so I was pretending, you know.
Okay.
Mud pies and good food, right?
Okay.
So I saw that on the west side. I saw little kids running around being unattended, you know. I saw broken windows, broken homes, empty lots. I mean, this all sounded and looked like post-war Berlin.
Mm.
See that connection?
Wow.
So if you don't mind, you know, after these experiences, I got kind of involved in community groups that had, you know, that were basically doing, you know, education, community education and activism. But I also got involved a few years later in the poetry scene, the underground poetry scene in Chicago.
Ooh.
And one of the poems that I ended up writing, real short, actually in 85, you know, I love to write, so I just had written this, but when I got involved in the poetry scene, I also read it, and I read it in Germany at one point. But it spoke to my impression of going for the first time through the West Side.
Mm.
And it's a few lines, but it's called Berlin, Chicago, so you all mind if I quick read that? Because, like, I'm going to say no, right?
No, right.
Yeah, right. So this was written in 1985, and I performed it in Germany in 1991 when we had organized what we called the Urban Metaphor Tour. And there were some wonderful people involved, like Batya Hernandez, I had, done some work. But I'll tell you, I have so much to tell you. You have to shut me up, so you feel free.
No, keep going. But let me be sure I heard you correct. You said the urban, what kind of tour?
Metaphor. Like a metaphor?
Yeah, Urban Metaphor Tour.
Not
heard that before. Please, go right ahead.
So here's the poem. It's called Berlin, Chicago. And I'm not going to be too dramatic, but then a child, I played among the ruins. They held no threat. We jumped from bombed-out buildings onto mattresses below. The rubble the grown-ups had created from our city was our playground. Now grown up, ruins wall me in. There is familiarity in this wretchedness. A new city, a new country, 4 decades later, and the same environment exists here. Children jump from rotting buildings, but into the hopelessness of their lives.
Mm. Mm.
And this is what I felt.
Wow.
I thought, like, man, we lost the war. A war that America helped finance.
Mm-hmm.
But they helped us afterwards because, you know, Germany was needed strategically, militarily, geopolitically.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made it through. We got help. We made it through. We rebuilt. My daddy, 16 years old, coming, or at that time then, 17, 18, after prison camp, came back and helped rebuild the city with his bare hands. He had been slightly crippled, but he could still work, crippled by gunshots.
Mm.
But he could still work, and he helped, you know, build. My mom, I have wonderful pictures I should have brought, but she would, the old buildings, when they fall apart, you know, bricks and whatnot, they had mortar on it.
Mm-hmm.
She would take my little brother to these ruins, and my mom got paid for taking a hammer and knocking off all the old mortar so that the bricks could be reused to rebuild buildings.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, we survived, and we made it through, and life changed. In Chicago, in this poem, it's still the same.
It's still the same. Looks like a German war camp hit the West Side. Wow. That is information that I did not know, and I'm sure many of our listeners and viewers didn't know as well.
And you can imagine what impression that left on me in the sense that I understood it from a deep down emotional memory. Oh, this looks familiar. I'm not scared of this environment,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it also said, how the hell can this happen in America?
Yeah.
I came over thinking this was the land where milk and honey flows in the street.
That's the picture that the programming portrays. That's why television is television. tell my vision, and it's not always the truth. That's why, see, that's why we're talking about her story, because his story isn't always right. And right about now, it's 8:01. We've got to take our next commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Susan Essentials leads you to wellness by giving you access to more than 20,000 sustainably produced nutritional products delivered direct to your door.
And rising, and thank you for joining us back here on The Female Solution. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and our guest today is Dr. G. And before we go back to that discussion, wow, eye-opening discussion, let me remind you that this every last Saturday of the month is the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest. Now, we know you have children in your family, in your community, in your organization somewhere, so please send them to the higherlearningnetwork.org. All they have to do is send in a one-minute video clip of themselves singing, dancing, directing, choreography, art. We had a sketch artist on here. I mean, he was phenomenal. Anyway, send that information. If you go to my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, you will see the information there, and you can get that information into your children in your community. So go to my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. All of that information is there. And if we complain about our children, but if we don't give them activities to keep them busy, to use all of that energy that they have, they'll do destructive things, just like what we're seeing that's happening in the community now. So it's up to us as the community, as the village, so to speak, to keep them in our womb, in our shelter, in our grace. Let's show them that we love them by each person that is watching this video to share that information. Okay? All right. So I just wanted to share that with you. Now let's get back to her story as we are celebrating Women's Herstory Month this month. And our guest today is Dr. G, telling a fascinating story. Before you go back, Dr. G, I have just got to mention what you said about the chicken. See, as kids coming up, we didn't have meat. We only had meat on the weekends. And it's like it's now every people yeah. eat meat all day, every day. And that's why we have so many health problems, because all the poison is in the meat. It's in the food, period, but especially the meat. And you were talking about chicken wings. I didn't even know what a chicken wing was. Because as a kid, I didn't eat chicken wings. I got one piece of chicken. It was either a drumstick or a thigh or something like that. It was one piece. So by the time I got old enough to understand what this fascination with chicken wings are, and I was like, but it has the least part of the meat. So why is everybody in love with chicken wings? So maybe you can explain that.
Well, because for me, it was all that was left of the chicken.
Ah, okay. So you developed a love for it. Why?
So it has memories, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, like, daddy got, you know, the best parts, and then, you know, mother got the second best, and then the brother got, you know, probably one drumstick because he was a male after all, and then
right.
I got what was left. I got the chicken wings, you know.
And it just goes to show you how cultures connect.
Yeah.
Food is always the connection. Because everybody loves to eat, you know, it's in our face all day, every day. Every 10 minutes on a commercial, go and get something to eat, have it your way, you know, supersize, all that good stuff. Anyway, I digress, but I just had to point that out to you. But
it's more than one other show for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
But we ended up before the commercial, not this, the other commercial, on her story, and that's exactly it. You know, I told you that my experience going through coming to Chicago and seeing all of this and feeling emotional familiarity and therefore not being afraid to look into it, and led to the head. You know, it came from the heart and the soul, but it went to the head to say, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. This image is not what I thought was America. This image, you know, and I see other communities thriving, immigrant communities, you know, doing better than black communities who are, when the black, you know, were really here first. I mean, you know, after the Indians, that's another story. So I thought, like, so let me check out his story, because his story basically told me that there was, oh, I think you called it a civil rights movement. And I think that things were supposed to change after that. But then I also learned things like, oh, interesting. So when the two leaders that had different ideologies got together, they were murdered. And, you know, a Martin and a Malcolm that all of a sudden didn't make it anymore. Because people had come together. I started reading some of the black history, you know. And I said, please understand everybody who's listening or who's going to listen later. I'm not trying to make myself out like I'm like, I know this all, I'm the white chick, I'm cool. Not at all. I struggle every day with, am I doing the right thing? Am I helping because, you know, or doing what I'm doing because I want to make what I believe America is true, because I think it can be if we all come together. I think it can be win-win. But I'm not trying to be, you know, one of those people that thinks I'm going to come in here and save you all, because I have to save the white people. I have to have them understand what's wrong. And I think I can make some inroads, and I have been able to, because I was willing to learn and willing to look and willing to see what really was going on behind the scenes. And I'm willing to speak up about that. And I'm willing to take a risk to speak up in the white communities, right? Even though it has resulted and can result in things, but I can always go back to my white privilege. What can I lose? I lose a job. Maybe I didn't want it anyway. I had two N-words given to me. One was the Nazi bitch, and the other one is the N-lover.
Okay? Wow.
So depending on, you know, how people perceive me, and that's what I said when we started, I've been called names when I say things. But, you know, I understand. I do understand it to the point that, you know, that I let it roll off because I know better. You know, I know who I am. So I can be called names. Doesn't bother me. You know, I mean, sure, in a quiet moment I say, darn, I want to be invited to the wine and cheese party at the university too, but I'm such a troublemaker sometimes, but they don't want to hear it, you know. But the other thing is, you know, there's another N-word in my world, and that is that I can navigate. I understand and have learned to see the processes that are used in systems, right? To some extent, you know, I'm not a politician or anything, but for example, at the university where I taught, you know, that was fast forward now to the late 90s after I finished schooling. I was able to understand what was going on, namely that the microcosm of racism and sexism and classism also existed in the university, where I also didn't expect it, because we're supposed to be educated people, right?
Mm.
So I saw that there too, and then I saw, and I talked not just about one university, but many, where I worked part-time or full-time, people would be recruited as first-generation students. Well, you know who that is. People that may not have the $50,000 to pay for a degree, so they got student loans.
Mm-hmm.
The criteria to accept people sometimes was, let's beef up our minority rates and let's get the funding, right? I mean, that's the truth. And let's then teach them the way we always want to teach and the way we know it and the way we understand and the way we are educated and the way we create the knowledge. And it's all about the professoriate. There are exceptions, but not many.
Mm.
And what happens is that, and I'm not going to bore you with statistics, but what does happen is that if you look at the publicly funded universities and, you know, who also receive students with student loans, monies and all of that, the graduation rates of the black and the brown people are in the toilet, okay? The graduation, I should have pulled it and we could have shown it, but, you know, just look it up. Look up the graduation rates of just students in public universities in Illinois and see. There are some universities that are as low as 38% graduating. So here you have people that are going through, you know, undergraduate degree, right, going through 4 years of schooling, pay for it because they have the loans or they took it out some other way or they have a part-time job or God knows what, and they don't get the degree, that is supposed to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Well, there goes the saying, you don't have the bootstraps.
Right. You need the boots first.
You need the boots first. And we're claiming that education, for example, is one of the, you know, one of the tools that you can use to better your quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're having, you know, systems from kindergarten through university education that are questionable to me. And I questioned them. Going back to the N-word, I was able to navigate and find ways, you know, with students to navigate through the process, even when the process or the ideological arrogance of professors sometimes stopped them. And you know, the other thing that in my soul, at least, I found is that a lot of people don't see it. They don't see what they're doing.
Mm.
They mean well.
They've
right?
got blinders on.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if it's blinders. There, and this goes back to my early part of where I come from, my country and my upbringing. I did not grow up with the implicit racism. I did not grow up with all these images and all the portrayals that, like you said, television, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I came. I looked back at some of the old shows. I didn't just read black literature, but I looked at the old television shows. A friend of mine told me, you got to look at those shows. And I'm saying, what stupid shows are those? The Dynamite and all these kind of, you know, all these kind of shows that portrayed people in certain ways that made them clowns, that made the males look like, you know, like idiots. Black women, you guys have it a little better, okay? You kind of, you know, have a lot of say. But the black men in these TV shows, I mean, moving on up, uh-huh, you know? And here was, you know, the man unemployed and this and that, and supported by the woman. Or here was the man, what's the other one, the dry cleaner? I forget the show.
The Jeffersons.
Yeah, the Jeffersons, right?
Moving on up.
You know, he's just acting the fool all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even his housekeeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Florence.
Look at the messages.
Look,
that
subliminal messages. Buffoonery.
Buffoons, exactly. And I did not get those messages growing up. I got them once I got here.
Mm.
And I could see them from a different angle because believe me, we got our prejudices in Germany, okay? I don't need to say anymore.
Right.
You know, we have a horrible history at one point with the Holocaust, of course. And as our economic wonder started happening and we started building our country in the 60s and so forth, 50s, 60s, you know, we then imported workers from Italy, which, by the way, we call colored. The Italians were colored because they weren't as pink as me, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so those were our colored people, right? And so we had some prejudices against the Italian. Then the wave of the Turks came, you know. So we have, you know, we have our issues over in the country. But as far as black-skinned people are concerned, I didn't have that, and I didn't have, like I said, the fear. You know, I don't think, I don't have a problem if a black man gets in the elevator with me.
And grab your purse.
Right. But I'm also not stupid, because I also have had bad experiences, because one of my first jobs that I had was in at Dawson Institute here in the city of Chicago. That is at State and Pershing, or State and
39th Street, yeah. That's where I grew up at.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was called Stateway Gardens. Now it's called Park Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you about the bus situation if you want to hear it.
Go right ahead.
Where was I? I was basically talking about
your experiences at Dawson.
Right. But I mean, no, that was a point I was trying to make, and then I got sidetracked about the television shows. Oh, about the history. So I looked at popular media, not just the books, not just the poetry, not just, you know, what black writers and philosophers and politicians had said over the decades here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't just see some of the movies, you know, but I also looked at the popular media, the game shows, you know, and all of that. And I compared what was happening in the 60s shows, the 70s shows, to even what we have now. And I compared what had happened in terms of laws and developments after the civil rights movement, the war on poverty and all that. And I thought, like, well, then how are we still going to the West Side and, or, you know, other communities in this country, by the way, and other countries, by the way, and see the same oppression, the same disenfranchisement, the same disinvestment, the same miseducation? I think there was a book about miseducation a long time ago. Well, guess what? We are still doing it.
Yes, we
Chicago
are.
Chicago Public Schools is not helping people and to read at grade level and to become educated and to become critical thinkers.
I need you to say that again. I need you to repeat that.
You know, we're spending, I think it's $19 million or whatever. I mean, again, I need to look at the statistics. I have to remember numbers better. I remember people more than numbers. But no, we are not educating our kids equitably in the schools and the disenfranchised communities. That is a fact. It's reported by the public schools.
Never have, and never will until we demand it, until the parents get involved.
But you know, someone once told me that the CPS is doing an exquisite job because they're keeping people where they're at.
What?
Well, I mean, it was sarcastic, but the point is that look at who is enrolled in the public schools. You know, the highest percentage are people of color, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the highest percentage mm-hmm. are in schools that are underfunded,
mm-hmm.
underfunded, because they're not getting the equitable funding, even though we're paying 60% of our property taxes for the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not getting the funding. Well, so where's the accountability? Well, if they are accountable to someone else but the people there to educate and the communities they're supposed to help get the children a good start in life, then they're doing a good job because they're keeping the pipeline to the prisons open.
Yes.
They're having mental health professionals.
Yes.
Who isn't going to be traumatized growing up like that as a child? Who isn't going to be traumatized? Now, that doesn't excuse the criminal element. That doesn't include some of these things. But when you start having, oh boy, she's preaching. When you start creating synthetic drugs that are cheaper so people in poor communities can afford them, then you wonder why there's a drug problem?
Mm-hmm.
If you are not investing in communities, if you're not educating, if you're not providing job opportunities, if you're building Obama's library with immigrants rather than with people who live in the community and contractors that are black, or if you can't find them because we haven't trained them, and. So, you know, all these issues we can nod our head to and we can say, oh, that's radical talk, but it isn't. It is very practical talk because, you know, like I said earlier, the first word I came out saying was, it's all about connecting. It's connecting among people. It's connecting dots. It's connecting where does the money come from and go to. There's nothing wrong with making money. This is what's supposed to, the democracies, you know, and capitalism and all this good stuff can achieve for all people. if we get away with, you know, if we can get away with, you know, the thieves, the corruption, you know, the greed and all that kind of stuff, you know. I guess greed is spelled with a G, but anyway, if we can just look at us as people, and this is so idealistic, right? This is such a dream, but isn't that what the American dream is supposed to have been for everybody? Weren't the huddled masses supposed to come here?
And people are seeing that are coming here now. The American dream is not what you think it is. It's what was televised, the story that was told you. That's why we have Women's Her Story Month, so we can tell the truth. People need to know about the truth. And you talk about the system being broke. System's not broke. The system was designed that way to keep us in bondage.
Yeah, that's the point. And as a woman, I mean, you know, I never had to worry in my country about feminism or about equality. I mean, notwithstanding the money and the pay and all this good stuff and the traditions and the, you know. But when I came here, I mean, I was kind of shocked that women were so felt so oppressed, because I grew up with women. Remember, the men were in the war, my parents and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles and whatnot. You know, the family members who were male were in the war. Some of the women worked in you know, other positions also to support the war. So who was left were the women. The women that were left had to take care of everyone. So I didn't see women as weak, because I only saw strong women around me. My grandma, the funny quick story, during the occupation when the Russians came in, which was pretty gruesome. I didn't live through it, but my parents and grandparents did. But my grandparents are all from Poland. But, you know, Poland, Germany, I mean, they kept going back and forth anyway. But and the Russian soldiers had killed a horse because there was no food.
Oh.
And they had killed a horse in the courtyard, and they were throwing away the liver and the heart and, you know, some of those organs. My grandma, being able to speak a little Russian, went down there and negotiated with them to get that, because they had no food. You know, our family had no food, and she knew how to cook a liver and a heart to make it, you know, palatable, right?
Oh,
which
wow.
is not bad food, by the way. But anyway, so, you know, to show you there were strengths in women. You know, I have family members, and I don't want to, well, they're all dead, so maybe I can say it, that were gang raped by Russian soldiers, and grandma had to go rescue them, you know, and negotiate and plead, you know, with the soldiers to let them go. And there were mass suicides of women, of course, that had been, you know, sodomized and all that kind of stuff. But you know, Miss Zelda, they survived.
Yeah.
They made it through. They raised families. I don't know how they handled some of this stuff, but they did. And so to come to this country, you know, decades later, being strong in my history, in the role models that I had, the bras that were pretty strong, and then coming over here and seeing some women worry about wearing bras, it's like, jeepers, you know? I mean, is that all you have to worry about? I'm being a little mean here, but I didn't have that issue. So that's why when I was called an occupitch or whatever, you know, come on, people. You don't know what women have gone through to survive and to raise their family. So
we have
perhaps a different attitude, whether, you know, about nurturing and about surviving and about keeping the family and keeping things going, which maybe leaves us less prone to greediness or some of those things. And so, you know, when I criticize the system and all of that, I think it comes from a particular male perspective, you know. I mean, if you go back, oh God, now I'm really digging myself in here, but if you go to, you know, to the origins of, you know, how we lived on Earth, it was always the boys and the men that would kill the bison, you know, that would go and hunt, right? And we would be the gatherer. I mean, that's still the case in many ways. Not to say that women can't do a man's job, but what is a man's job? It's all jobs. It's all things that we need to do for society. So if I'm capable of doing what's called a man's job, let me do it, right? And
right.
let me be equal and equitably, you know, compensated. But at the same time, what's wrong with raising kids and not working? I don't think, you know, that a woman needs to feel badly, right, if she is only a mom or
right.
something like that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, the
hardest job on the planet.
Pardon me?
Hardest job on the planet.
You know? I know.
Raising children.
So the point is just really, you know, because I digressed a little bit, but the point is not to put down male or capitalism or any of these kind of things, but just to analyze, you know, like in any job, but anything that you need to do, like when you build a house, you don't just need plumbers. You need people that have all kinds of skills.
Right.
But together they accomplish the goal of building the home, the house. And so we are trying to build a society. We are trying to build a humane society because we don't have one right now. So therefore we need, you know, all these different tasks to be accomplished. And women do some, men do some, it mixes around, so what? But, you know, we therefore have a different sense about how to go about participating and speaking up and standing our ground, you know. I mean, we just need to get over ourselves because we are here for a reason, period, all of us. And that includes the bad guys, you know.
Yes, because they came to teach us, too. There's always something that you can learn from someone that doesn't matter how detrimental it may appear to be. We've got some comments over here, and we're going to take some calls when if those who are on the line would like to comment. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak, but let's go to good morning from Deborah McPhee. Thank you. Good morning, Deborah. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and comments. Barbara Sims says the best part of the chicken. She must be talking about the chicken wings.
I got more yarns about chicken, by the way, yeah.
Viata, for Soul Purpose Healing, Grand Rising Queens. Viata has a show that comes on Friday, Soul Purpose. I'm sorry. Is that Soul Purpose Healing? No, that's the female. I'm brain fog right now. But anyway, Friday mornings from 7 until 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And on Sunday nights, if you didn't hear the show last night, please, 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 please go back and listen to it. It's on Soul Purpose Healing. And because there's a couple Soul Purpose Healings, be sure when you see this eye, you'll know you're at the right one. Enjoying this personal European history. Thank you, Viata. We greatly appreciate that. And Deborah McPhee says, hey there. Hey back at you, girl. Thank you so much, all of you, for watching and joining her story this morning here on The Female Solution. This is fascinating. I love this. We have got to do this again because you bring with you a wealth of information from another perspective, someone outside the country coming into the country, and you see the parallel between what's going on in a war-torn country and what's happening right here in America on the west side of the city. And it's not just the west side. It's the south side, too.
Right.
It's all sides. Have you seen Tent City? Oh, my God. Have you seen the homeless people in this world? There, and I've watched these documentaries because February of 2019, my little brother Douglas Robinson was murdered in Tent City.
Oh.
And thank you. When I went to the funeral, we all went to the funeral, all these homeless people showed up, and I had no idea that homelessness was an epidemic as it is. You know, you live in an apartment, you see homeless people on the street, you see them and you don't see them. And as a result of that, this is the lost population of society. Nobody pays any attention to it. But in California, oh, my goodness, it's another story. People are everywhere in front of the rich people's homes. So they have something to say about that. They don't want them to be in their neighborhood. But it's rampant. What do we do? Nothing will happen until we, the people, the village, make it happen. It's just that simple. We can go to the people who are supposedly in charge, the politicians. Really? So you see where that's gotten us. So as Anthony Travis would say, people, we got to wake up. And wake up, and not only just wake up, but do the work after we wake up. And right now it's 8:30, time for our last commercial break. Share this video with somebody, and if you want to comment in the comment section, let us know what city, country, or state you're calling from, you're watching from, and we'll be right back, so stay close.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face-to-face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their Internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving, doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on The Female Solution.
Half hour of The Female Solution. My special guest today is Dr. G. You know, Dr. G, I never did pronounce your name because I didn't want to tear it up. So.
Well, that's how I got my nickname, Dr. G, because in German you say Ganze Elish Borschen, and that takes a little practice. The Americans usually make Gabriel Storchen out of it, so I decided I didn't like Gabriel anyway.
It's closer
to the Spanish Gabriela, so that's why in the Pilsen community where I now live and have worked in as well, people usually call me Gabriela. Yeah.
Okay.
Allow me to make a connection because I was kind of, you know, I kind of got rambling about the women's thing there, but I think the point about nurturing and connecting is really key in my life, and the connections are, they can be executed in many ways, right? And mm-hmm. I said earlier that I don't feel I'm an ally. I don't want to come and help the poor black people because you all have helped yourselves to survive pretty well and have a lot of strength, but we have to change the systems so that they're more equitable, so that all can win, and there is a connection between, you know, our communities. I have no problem with people living in a community. Hey, if I could live with all Germans and have all my German stuff, I'd be happy too.
Wow.
But I can live with, you know, with one another if that's your choice, but the choice is the issue. The choice is the point that needs to be made, right?
Mm.
And we have to clean up a whole bunch of stuff in our city. We have criminal elements. We have sick people, but not everybody living in a community fits into those categories, and that needs to be clear. So toward that end, I have found that education, kinds of education are important. So whether I work in community education, teaching English as a second language to Mexicans, which is cute because I taught it with a German accent, right?
Wow.
So the poor Mexicans early on learned English with a German accent from me, right? But all the way up to the university, after I finished my schooling in this country, which was a great opportunity for me, and I worked then at city colleges and different universities here in the city, ending up at DePaul University. But the point is that education is kind of my main way within which I can, you know, do something. So anything from you know, what I'm doing with the tech sector right now to educating people, and we developed some workshops on how how this whole mess started and what we can do about it, and that we have to vote and that we have to get involved. But also, and some of the people who are online are some of my students, right? Mm-hmm. But they're all professionals now who are doing well for themselves and have a really good attitude, not because of me, but in part also. There were many of the students who had never set foot on the west side or the south side, because I also worked, with some people down there. And I would do what's sometimes called service learning projects. And we would go, like, for example, I worked with Jimmy G, who used to have a soul food restaurant over on the west side. And I got to know him somehow. And I said, can we meet in your shop? And so we would go and meet in his restaurant. Sitting there on the little tables, and people would say, what you all doing here? And we said, well, we're trying to learn. And then we would do, we would have our sessions there, but we would work on a project. So there is a, for example, the organization called Tiff City, long history there. Somebody Google it, but the students that I took learned about it, and we found out that they needed, revitalization a little bit. We have a great building. And so this was years back, but so we did a project, and our project was, I would tie that into the course on social justice or on research methods or on marketing strategies or whatever competences students wanted to learn, and we would go out in the community instead of sitting in the classroom downtown at DePaul, and we would do stuff. One time we even had a garage sale, and then I was in questions, well, how can a garage sale? I said, no, it wasn't a garage sale. We had to organize, we had to do marketing development, we had to do interviewing people, we had to analyze, and so we did research methods, so we did a whole bunch of different skill-building activities in the context of helping a community organization get something.
Mm.
And so those were the kind of, an example, but those were the kind of things to do. We also, the first project that I did, we did with Michelle Clark High School, and we called it Walking the Walk. And we took university students that had never been in that community with students from Michelle Clark and some seniors from the senior center across the street, and we took a bus and we went around to the places that Martin Luther King had been in when he was in Chicago. And then we had the kids do some research, and, I mean the kids at the high school and the students from the university do some research and some other things. They did a poetry book, they did a video, they did some spoken word performances. We had a panel discussion with some greats like Lester Jackson. I think he has passed on, but was very active in the civil rights movement. But we had all kinds of people come together for a discussion on how to revitalize a community, what is the history, and how far have we come or not. And I had one of my students who is not online, so don't take it that way. One of the students say to me, Dr. G, when we went to Michelle High and talked with the kids and all that, Dr. G, she says, these kids are just like mine. And I said, well, why wouldn't they be? But you see, the woman had never set foot anywhere where she was surrounded by black people.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so the images, we talked about television earlier, the images, the perception, the media, and the fact that we do not interact many times, and we're really segregated in Chicago, you know that, right?
Fear. It's called fear.
Yeah, right. And so, and what we hear is what we see now, the looting and the this and the that, and so the bottom line, yes, there is this and yes, there's that, but we have to connect and we have to learn. And so education and that kind of education where you're really in the community, in the moment. I was asked, Dr. G, can we really go there? It's so dangerous. And I said, I think we'll be fine, Now, do I have fear at times? I mean, I'm not stupid. I live in a metropolitan area where there's a lot of crazy people. I've been mugged. I've been attacked. I can tell you my bus story where, when I worked at Dawson Institute where I would take the State Street bus, not knowing that at one point it becomes all black.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden.
Past 35th Street.
All of a sudden it's like.
That's where the school is at 33rd or something like that, yeah.
And I had an incident where I got on the bus and some little old lady with a cane tried to trip me. Now, this was not an accident because she said some things, and she said a word that I didn't know at the time. She called me a cracker.
sorry.
I didn't know what that meant, right?
That's a southern term that my aunt used to use when I was a kid living with her when my mom died, and we had to learn how to survive in the South, and my aunt was a sharecropper. And I would hear her say that to him, like, cracker. What's a cracker? You mean a saltine cracker? She said, no, baby, that's what we call white folks down here. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and the funny part, and I actually think it comes from geese or something, that crack or quack or something. I don't know, but there's some story I once read. I forget the details.
I never heard that. Thanks for sharing.
But the point here is that I had to learn that I was white because I never thought of myself as white in Germany.
Because everybody there looked like you.
Well, yeah, and I was a woman, you know, I was German with some Polish grandparents. I mean, I never had to think of myself in terms of my skin color. And so and of course the significance in this country, right? And so that was, you know, the beginning of my journey to dig deeper into things when I had some of those experiences. And that is what I think education can do, you know, is by digging deeper, by you know, recognizing the human in us, you know, that we all are, I thought, and having exchanges, right? And that is something, that's why I said earlier, I don't want to be an ally to black people per se. I'd rather want to abolish the systems among the whites and the thinking that we have that is so deeply, implicitly, intrinsically, subliminally taught. That we don't see it.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make myself out to be a big heroine here or hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just that I just simply came from a different perspective, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And this perspective I want to share with people, but I can't preach it, I have to show it.
Right.
And to show it, you have to look and see and hear and listen, right? And that is something that in education at all levels we can do. So that form of that medium, the education, is my way to help connect people, and I think that's where it's all about. The other point on that, and then we can talk about something else.
I think you've made
it. You know, Michelle, I don't always do it willingly and with great joy like I'm doing this thing. It's sometimes, you know, bothersome. It's sometimes something I wish we could just all get along. I wish I could be colorblind. I wish I could just not see it. I wish I wouldn't notice it. Just last Saturday, and I'll share this right quick, I had some furniture. I know I'm always collecting it. People throw it out, I keep it, and then there's always someone who needs it, right? And there is a wonderful organization, I'm on the board, that is working with returning citizens, formerly incarcerated, who are trying, you know, they just got a building and they needed some stuff. So I said, hey, I got some stuff, come and get it. So they came and got it, and they had a beat-up truck, you know, but they borrowed somebody's truck, and three big black brothers came to pick it up, right? And here they're parking in Pilsen, the Mexican community, in the middle of the street, double parking in order to get it out of the building and take it, and everything was cool. And you know, they stand there. So one of them stands outside talking, and the others are already sitting in the cab of the truck. I'm going to my car. They take off, and I look, and I see blue lights down about a block and a half. So now here I sit, and I thought, like, my first thought, being, you know, kind of aware of stuff that can happen, I said, oh, shoot. They have probably a beat-up truck, a couple of black guys with some furniture in the back. Okay, did the cops stop them to check, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would the traffic stop, right? So now I needed to go someplace else, and I hesitated. It wasn't that I said, oh, yes, you know, me and my red cape to the rescue, right? But I felt compelled that I had to drive down the block and a half and check and see if it was that in order to maybe intervene or somehow, you know, if this was the case. And it turned out that they had pulled over another, you know, black truck, so, you know, it wasn't my guys that had just picked up the stuff. But you see, that moment of hesitation told me, you know, I have the power, so to speak, to maybe do something, but I had to decide to take it. And it's not always easy. This was a, you know, I could have driven on. I didn't have to go. I could have said, oh, they're fine, but I had to go, you know. Now, I'm not trying to say that this is a burden. I'm just trying to say that we're human. We're all human. And we do things because we're compelled. we have it in our heart and spirit, but it's not always easy. You know, it's not always easy. And then you feel badly about yourself, because why did I hesitate? If I'm such a, you know, a person that is one, why did I hesitate? Well, because, you know, I'm, you know, I just have fears too.
Mm.
The cops get mad at me.
Mm.
You know, I mean, right? And, yeah. And so standing up with and seeing and hearing and all that is not always an easy thing. And I'm not trying to say, you all just get over it, white people, and do it. It takes commitment. It takes, you know, all kinds of, I don't even know what to call it, but it's not always, I just want to say it's not always easy, and nobody is perfect, and I'm not going to cast the first stone here, but we have a lot of work to do. And I think that given some of my insights, I can, you know, I can at least share them in hopes that lights go on, you know, and that more people will come and see that we can do a whole lot more than we're doing right now. Let's put it that way.
And I'm so glad that you are one of the many people who are doing the work that is necessary to bring this culture of people together as opposed to dividing us, because when we are divided, they win. The system of divisiveness wins. That's why I said the system is not broke. It's not broken. It was designed that way. We've got some comments from the line. If you'd like to comment, feel free to comment on our Facebook or YouTube page, Higher Learning TV Show, Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. She says, Friday morning, health and wellness on the Female Solution. I couldn't remember. Thank you so much, Viata. Health and wellness on Friday morning. Every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, from 7 until 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, there's a show. So go and see the lineup on the Female Solution. And Ken Elazier says, remember Lower Wacker Drive? I think he's referring to the homeless situation, because they're still there. Lower Wacker Drive, the homeless people, you see lots of them. When I was working in radio at WGCI Radio, the AM gospel radio, I wasn't working at the heathen station, that's what we used to call it, because we were in gospel. We would always, you know, for the holidays, I would always ask people to bring us food. And we would take the food downstairs to give it to the homeless. So homelessness is not new to me.
I live near a park here in Pilsen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, park, and there are a lot of homeless that stay there. Again, I walk my dogs, right? And so I know them. And I say hello to them and I talk to them. One of them calls me Blondie, which I think is so cute, you know. Hey, Blondie, how are you today? You know. The point here is, I say hello to them. It's as simple as that. Just acknowledge them.
Just acknowledge them, that they exist.
You know,
they're not invisible.
You don't have to bring them food necessarily. I mean, all of that stuff is good. But I mean, simple human things to just say hi to one another and not to be scared of everyone. I mean, you have to be smart. Don't make
right.
You know, I mean, I'm not stupid. You know,
right.
I don't like people walking behind me. After I get
smart. Right.
But on the other hand, you know, we just have to, you know, acknowledge each other as human beings, you know.
And I know what that feels like, not to be seen, not to be acknowledged. Now that I'm a senior, over 65, I'll be 67 this year, when I walk into a store, and because I have mobility issues sometimes, and I have a cane, people don't see me.
Uh-huh.
If you're old, they don't see you until, especially like at Walmart, until you walk out the door when you got to show your receipt, that's when they see you. If you're stealing from them or you're trying to steal from them or something like that, then they see you. Otherwise, you go in a store, pay attention to how people don't pay attention to seniors. So I understand that. I get that. You're not seen if you're not home. If you're homeless, they don't see you. Number one, they don't want to be around you because they think you might stink, you might smell, or worse than that, you might ask them for some money or something, or a cup of coffee. Sometimes they want to take that money to go get something to drink or smoke or shoot up just so that they can zone out. And can you blame them? That's not the way out.
Yeah.
But it's a way out for them. If you're living on the street, honey, that's a whole other story. I was looking at a newscast where I think it was in California because of the homelessness is so big in California. One of the newscasters went to spend the night at a homeless shelter, and he said he had to get up out of his, off the ground, out of his tent, and go sleep in his car because he could not stand living out in the cold on the ground. And this is in California, so you can imagine what it's like in Chicago. It's warm in California. It is. But at night, it's cold there, so I get that. I digress, too. I go there sometimes, Dr. G.
No, I do, too, obviously. We just said, We have a lot of work to do, but, you know, we can all start with some simple things. I mentioned earlier, you know, on some level, I guess I'm blue-eyed, truly, in that I still have this idealism of, you know, of that we can make a difference. But it goes so deep, and it's so intricate, and it's so involved, and I often feel like we're just marionettes. And, you know, when you said the system or they, well, I always say the they is us.
Yes.
According to the alleged system that we're supposed to follow, you know, the democracy and all that.
Right.
But I still honestly have the hope to my dying day that we can make a difference, you know. You know that story about, where the guy is walking, he sees another person by the river fishing out bodies and trying to help them and whatnot, and he watches this a few days in a row and says, finally, what are you doing fishing out, you know, these people? And he said, well, I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to help these people that are floating down the river here. And the guy says, well, why don't you just go up there and see who's throwing them in? We need to figure out who's throwing them in. Maybe we can change this worldwide system of, you know, well, whoever rules the world here, you know, the people who hold the strings. But maybe we can, at minimum, at least, you know, not just fish them out, but check in our environment who is throwing them in.
Absolutely.
And toward that end, you all can look in your own world, in your own community, and see what connections you can make, what kind of, you know, efforts you can take, and not be afraid of the consequences, because, you know, and I'm talking to the white people now, because, like I said earlier, and somebody pointed this out to me once, even if I get in trouble, I can always go back. I'm still okay. I still have that social white privilege, you know, and that has nothing to do with where I come from, my poverty, or my other things that I can share with you, like the chicken wings and all that, right? It has to do with I still have a certain status in society, in this society, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can use that. I have some power. Now, you all have some power too, but we just have to figure out what power that is and how to apply it so that we can do a little bit more than fishing out one body at a time and maybe changing a little bit in our environment. But for that, you have to, you know, get engaged. And it doesn't have to be a big social movement or a big campaign that you get involved in, although I'd like you to get on board with the property tax movement that we're building. We're calling it We the People. But at the same time, there are things that you can do in your community and even just in your own heart of looking at people differently than what you're being told to do.
And we've got about 3 minutes here, and I think the solution to that is what you just said, her story. It's the female solution, which I forgot to play during the promo, so please forgive me. Here it is.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda B. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And thank you, Dr. G, for being a part of the solution, the female solution. And it is 8:55. We've got about 2 minutes. Let's try to get a call in here. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Area code 336-350. You're live on the Female Solution, Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Greetings, Sister Zelda. Greetings, family. Greetings to your guests. Can you hear me okay?
Is that Mama AZ from Arizona? We hear you loud and clear. Yes, we do. Go right ahead, Mama AZ. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, ma'am. I'll make this quick. Sister, we need to do a whole show about how people just don't even want to see us. They want for us to be invisible. It just hurts my heart. Some of the medical, your doctors, they want to kick you to the curb, you know, that with the way they treat you. So think about doing a show about this and the treatment of elders. And it's getting really to be interesting with women and elder women. I just like, wow. It hurts me, you know. So thank us for you allowing me to voice this opinion. Call you, Sister Zelda.
Okay, thank you so much, Mama AZ from Arizona. Mama AZ is a faithful listener here on the and viewer here on the Female Solution as we are celebrating Women's History Month. We got another comment here. Says okay, already. It is 8:57. It is time for the show to end. We have an after show beginning at 9 a.m. with the executive producer, Naima Latif. So if you would be so kind to give us a closing thought, your contact information for people who want to contact you. Dr. G?
Sure. I think the best thing would be I still have my DePaul email, so that might be a good thing if you want to come on board or if you want to discuss things or there's other art projects, for example, going on. We're doing a benefit coming up on March 19th for the Nonviolence Chicago with a bunch of local artists and art off kinds of things. So I'm always cooking up something, so I always need people's help and get engaged. Or have an idea, you need some more support or brainstorming over
every
it.
Every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-.
Gabriella, and then S like in Sam, T as in Thomas, R
on the Female Solution Facebook page.
Sam, C as in Cesar, and
Paul/the-female-solution.
And I will add your address to the updates on my blog on ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com. People
NAIMAHLATIF.com.
But listen, thank you. I'm so glad we connected.
No, thank you. You thank us
and be sure with the Expect Minister Coalition.
Shout out to Dr. Binion and to Travis. Thank you so much for having that monthly networking meeting every Thursday of the month.
We got a lot of work to do. So I'm I have time. If anybody wants to play, for it. That's all I can say.
All righty. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. We greatly appreciate you, Dr. G. We look forward to having you on for part two again. Thank you so much. As we're celebrating Women's History Month. Well, Dr. G, thank you so much.
Okay. Y'all take care. All righty.
We'll see you next time. I love it.
Okay.
She says, y'all take care now. I love it. And
Ghana. Madasi. Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Gabon.
Or if you want to comment right now, press 1, 515-605-9325.
Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan,
yes,
Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran.
Come back.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.
Come back on. Introduction needed for our executive producer of the show. It's the official after show with Naima Latif. Hey. Naima, meet Dr. G.
Meet Dr.
Yes, I said I can't let her get away before I introduce you to her. Yeah. Go right ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Naima.
Yes, well, thank you so much. Now pronounce your name for me because I want to make sure I'm
appropriately respectful in pronouncing your name. So how is it said?
Well, my whole name is Gabriela Stroshan.
Gabriela Stroshan.
There you go. See, that's not so hard.
Yes, I'm very impressed with the things that you said, and I think it's critical for us as we look at the world to, especially African Americans and the experience that we've had here, the challenging experience we've had here, is to realize that every person with white skin was not involved in that experience. Yes, we had a slave experience for several hundred years here. And by the way, that term cracker, it actually comes from people cracking the whip.
That's where really? Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
That's where that comes from.
Oh, my goodness.
And Eastern Europeans were not involved in the slave industry, and many black people are not aware of that because they don't teach, they don't teach geography in the, I'm trying to keep my phone from, because I'm connected to the switchboard, I might have to hang up.
You can go ahead, I've still got the switchboard open.
Here we go. Take it
off speed. Quick comment here. Rosie says, thank you, Dr. G, for always showing up in spaces with such vulnerability. Yes. Vulnerability. Yes. Yes.
And you know, a lot of people make assumptions if they hear a German accent. Again, you know, we've been brainwashed. Oh, Nazi, racist.
Yes. Yes.
We have to acknowledge even our prejudices that we have. And it's all related to media brainwashing. But because we don't learn geography in school, black children often grow up with the suspicion, the resentment of everybody with lighter skin, everybody with white skin, everybody with European ancestry, not understanding Eastern Europeans had nothing to do with that industry.
And
they were not investors in it. They were not participants in it. They weren't even here on this continent at that time. So a lot of people coming here from Eastern Europe, they don't know the history of what happened, and they don't even understand why we're angry or any of it, because they don't know. You know, they weren't part of that history at all.
Explain Eastern and Western European. Explain the difference.
People from Poland, and look at them map, y'all. But sometimes they'll show you the country. They don't give you the context of where it is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So places like Poland, Czechoslovakia,
Ukraine,
Russia,
Romania,
side.
Yeah.
So the West side, that's the ones that the British, the French, the Italians, you know, those are the people who were greedily involved in the trafficking of human beings for profit. And so, and a lot of them, and it wasn't everybody, it's just those from the families that came over here, and then those who came later and profited from things after the Native Americans had been slaughtered. So there's some ugly things that happened in the history. But there are some Europeans who came over here, and they were indentured servants. They were part of the underclass because they were coming out of the prisons and all of that. So it's a lot of things that happened. And it's good to learn the history of what happened, but not for the point of just holding on to anger. And I think that's something we got to let go. Whatever happened, it happened. We should have learned something from it. The biggest lesson is if anybody suffers, everybody suffers. So we shouldn't have systems that make it so that some people suffer so that other people can excel, because if the people who are excelling, they're going to suffer as well. Like you said, instead of saving the people who are floating on the water, let's go up the river and students pushing them in. And
yes,
we can stop that, we can solve the problem. So let's stop the teaching that is incorrect, that makes people think that some people are better than others, or some people are more deserving than others, or some people are superior to others. Let's stop teaching that. That's one of the things we do with these shows. It's one of the things we're launching a TV network where we're featuring so many communicators around the world who are enlightening people with truth teachings and teaching unity and forgiveness. Because you can't keep holding on to what happened. You know, you can't let it go. Because everybody wasn't involved. And then even people who were involved, they didn't go.
Right.
So,
that was then, this is now.
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, you have to look at the now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to find, I mean, you have to focus on that. I agree. I mean, look, I come from a country where we, you know, had the Holocaust, right? And then Germany and German taxpayers are still paying reparations. We took away land from the Palestinians, the world did, and gave it to the Jewish state, and look what's going on over there now, you know? And again, you know, God help me if we get into that political discussion. But you know, we're not looking at the repercussions of either way of, you know, hanging on to the past and what that means, or, you know, looking at the reality of what goes on now. You know, I mean, we need to understand both, but from, you know, from more than a perspective of, and that's why I'm having this issue in my life, or this is why our society is having that issue. That, I mean, 500 years of slavery, I mean, has an impact, okay? And it has shaped the black community. I mean, make no mistake about it. At the same time, all the attempts at fixing it have, I mean, fixing, you know, to get back to equality and equity and all this good stuff, we're not really pursuing that. And that's what we need to do now. And we're not doing it on the, like Ms. Elda said, you know, on the systemic level, because it's benefiting a lot of people. Like Tech Stock always says, follow the money, right? Follow the money from A to Z, right? And if we understand that, we go, oh, how can we change it? But, you know, that's where the woman part of me, I suppose, says, okay, well, if I can't fix the house, I can at least fix the table. You know, I mean, a stupid metaphor, but, you know, I
not necessarily. It makes sense. It makes sense. But
well,
I have to ask you.
When it comes to the table and eat, maybe that's where we should start.
Right. Yeah.
Each one do something.
And I have to ask you, Dr. G, when you talked about slavery, what is your thought on reparations for African Americans?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, some form of repairing is important, right? Boy, I tell you, but do you think it would help right now? I mean, and I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know exactly what the systems are of how it's presented that they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But giving someone a sum of money at this point, if that were one of the methods, would that help? You know, I don't know. I think, that, you know, the repairing has to be done so that all the things that you were fighting for during the civil rights movement and stuff would really be put in place. You know, like the school, you know, like the equity in schooling, you know, that schools are like, you know, different communities in Chicago, West and South, and some other communities and poorer sections of the state get adequate funding and proper care of the children and all that sort of thing. To be honest, I haven't looked into it strongly enough. I respect that people are calling for it. I think that we certainly owe, since my country, so to speak, you know, Germany is paying the reparations. There are examples of how that, you know, is helping or not helping. So, you know, I'd have to look further into it. I'm not trying to hedge. I honestly don't know enough to have an opinion. It makes sense from a standpoint of, you know, we did some wrong, but at the same time, like Ms. Lateef says, do we need to let go and start fresh? Is that better? I don't know. Honestly don't know.
And that's a constant.
And it's not really my decision, you know, because, you know, I don't know how that would help at this point, you know, so.
And at least you're honest about it. That's an ongoing conversation here on The Female Solution.
Right.
And our Friday morning host, Viata, on health and wellness with Viata on Friday mornings from 7 until 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. It says we have to get out of the idea that anybody owes us anything. Naima?
Yeah.
Well, I looked at what people did when they got the stimulus checks. You know, they passed out during COVID. They passed out money to people.
Yeah.
You saw more big flat screen TVs being purchased, all other kind of stuff.
Cars, clothing, gym shoes, jewelry.
Yes.
Do we really need more of that?
And did their condition change? Well,
right.
No.
So, yeah.
Giving people a check when they don't really have a plan. plan on how to change their condition would not help. They would just have more stuff and probably more debt because they buy something on credit and then and they'd be broke because they owe all the credit cards.
And the point is, with the, you know, the reparations may have to be that we revise the system like we talked about.
Ah. Repair the damage.
Repair the damage. And prevent further damage. You know what I mean? I mean, like I said, I keep going back to equity. The same with affirmative action. That's another debated topic, right? I mean, should we give affirmative action to people? Yeah, let me just give you a real quick example. In one of the universities that I worked at, there was a professor who was pro-black, right? White professor. And in one of the faculty meetings, he made a comment because we were having problems with many of our students not being good writers. Well, first of all, as an educator, I know some people are better at speaking, some are better at writing. Some, you know, I mean, there's different skills and different ways of expressing that come sometimes from the culture, but that also come from people's learning styles. You know, brains work differently in all of us. And so they were saying that, you know, we're having problems. And so the thing came up that, well, some of the black students we have, you know, they're not writing so good, which is cute because that was an incorrect grammatical term in the first place, but that they used. And so this one professor popped up and said, well, you know, they speak Ebonics. And if they want to write like that, then we have to accept it because it's cultural. And I almost lost my mind. You know?
Really?
That's an interesting perspective. I study languages, and I had a teacher that he's actually, and he might even finish it by now, he's writing a book. He teaches multiple languages. He lives in Africa now. He was here in America at a school I was teaching at for a while, Betty Shabazz International Charter School. But he's traced the linguistic ties between many of the African languages that we spoke and how we learned English. We didn't learn it formally. You had to sort of learn it on the fly because your survival was about figuring out what people were saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the elements, a lot of the structure of our English
mm-hmm.
is similar to the structure of the languages we spoke, such as Yoruba, you know, that other languages that we came here speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Even the vocal sounds, you know, a lot of it is transferred to our dialect of English. So it's an English dialect. It's like anything, and a language or a dialect. You can learn it. You can understand it. But you have the ability to learn a specific dialect if that is what is considered the standard dialect for trade or business or education or whatever, and still speak your dialect at home. Because I do it all the time. We all do that.
Of course, and see, that was a problem with the comment, because here we are, and we mentioned that earlier in our talk, that we are, you know, using, we're getting the fees and the tuition money, and we're supposed to give someone a degree that makes them a quote-unquote educated person, and that is supposed to be a door opener for jobs and whatever, and hopefully you have learned something. And how can we let people then go out of our program, give them a diploma, and they can't write English, proper English? And then they're going out there, and what's going to happen? To me, that was a racist situation, a racist comment, because now we have a student that thinks, oh, I got a degree from XYZ University, oh, I got a master's degree, oh, whatever, and now I can, and then you write your application letter, and it's full of errors?
Yeah.
And people are going to say, first of all, the university.
You need your degree.
Exactly. Where did you go to school? And the other thing is, of course, you know, we just move people along, and then behind, and I've been in those meetings, in fact.
The master.
We're behind the scenes.
Right.
And I'm so glad you said the master's degree. I'm so glad you spoke on the master's degree, because if you look at the history.
Where is it? This is what we put together.
Blackmailed by academia. Wow.
I read you the poem out of this. I'm the white chick in the book, but the all the writers are people from, you know, like students or administrators or professors that have shared their story. And we put that book together actually, it came out during Black History Month a year ago. And we put it on Amazon for a few bucks because we don't, you know, we're not making any money. We just really basically want to get the word out. And, you know, and that's what's going on, you know. I mean, students are basically being raped of their money. You know,
yes. Getting the master's. We're going back to slavery here. Getting the master's degree. Look at that word. Okay. Master's.
That's
you're being trained. You're being indoctrinated with the way they think. And that the way that they think is to keep you in bondage. You go to school. You get a degree. You get out. You can't even afford to live because your loan payment is astronomical. And then they have the audacity to say that they'll defer it for a few years. Really?
Yeah.
Why not abolish it altogether? No, because we can't do that because we need our money. The system needs to collect.
Right.
That's why the system ain't broke. It was designed this way.
Right. But it's an attitude. Oh, they can't learn. Yes, you can. You can learn anything. I mean, it's good that they recognize that there is a dialect of speaking that people have, just like any other dialect. You have people who came here, Spanish is not their first language, so they're going to speak in a dialect. You know, you have people who come from Jamaica, and then English, they speak, there's a dialect. So a dialect doesn't indicate ability to learn another dialect or intelligence or anything. It's good if an instructor who teaches English can understand that there's a dialect, but then, okay, now that I understand that you speak in this dialect, let me introduce you to the dialect you're going to need for business. It's
mm-hmm.
a simple thing. I mean, one of the things that we have been experiencing in terms of a barrier, and Will Zelda, you know, we just went through this with
mm-hmm.
the mayor, great
mm-hmm.
brilliant man, international businessman, people are stuck on him speaking in a southern dialect
mm-hmm.
and talking about his intelligence. Like,
mm-hmm.
the man could buy you 50 times over, and you're talking about his intelligence. Honestly, he knows something you don't know because he's doing what you can't do, but you're going to be stuck on his speech?
Right.
Because you've been taught that that's a sign of someone's intelligence or mental capacity, but it's just a dialect. It's just the language you heard growing up, and that's what you think. If
right.
you go somebody somewhere else and immerse yourself in another country or anything else or another community, you're going to imitate what you hear and speak in a different dialect, depending on what age you were when you immerse yourself, because usually at a certain point, your brain is kind of stuck in a pattern. And so if you learn a different language while you're young and learning languages, then you will not have an accent. But if you learn it after you're an adult, well, your mind is already stuck in those language patterns, so you're going to speak with an accent of of your original language. It's such a simple thing. That's why when you want to teach children language, you teach them early. So you have adults who maybe they never left their community, the people who speak the way they speak, until they got older and they get to a university, and they're still speaking in their dialect because that's what they heard growing up.
That's right.
That doesn't mean that they can't learn, but that just helps you understand why they're still speaking in dialect, which has nothing to do with their intelligence or ability.
Nothing whatsoever. That's why I am so happy I had a coach. Dr. G just got lost. She's trying to get back in. I had a Dr. Sherry Berger. When I first came from down south living with my aunt, I had a southern twang. I talk like this all the time. How y'all doing? Like Tabitha Brown talk right now. And the kids in the class used to tease me. Here I am, 36, going back to school, and every kid in there is 16, 17, 18, and they would laugh at me. And the teacher came to my, the professor came to my rescue, and she says, the way you speak is not deficient. It's just different. And I was that. It just made a whole different me. At that point, I was superb. I didn't care what anybody said anything about me. My language that I spoke at that time, there she is, Dr. G. The language that I spoke, because I had a southern twang, I was not deficient in my language. I was just different. And I also learned that who dat, you hear them say that in New Orleans around Mardi Gras time, who dat? And things and little colloquialisms like that, that is from a certain sector, and people speak the way they speak in their culture. So it's not deficient, it's just different. But because we live in a society where you get a master's degree that tells you all that and a bag of chips, you're less than what they think you are because you don't speak the language.
And that's part of the foundation that has to be changed. We're going to repair things. Repair the mistaken idea that everything different is wrong. There is no wrong. Everything is just expressing experience. So the language you speak, just like Dr. G was talking about speaking or teaching English to Spanish-speaking people, they're going to learn with a German accent because that's what she has.
Right.
She's speaking German. And it's not wrong. It just shows the German language influence.
It's a difference.
It's not deficient, it's a difference. Right.
I mean, to me, you know, I mean, we have, you know, tribalism all over the world. I've been in
yes.
many different countries, and it doesn't matter. You know, we always find, as humans, just like chickens, you know, we find something to pick on for the others. But that's being used by a system and made purposefully so, right? But we still, you know, I mean, I still feel that we need to teach in a university, the proper way so that people have the skills that are expected in society. Otherwise, you know, what's going to happen? You're going to be laughed at. And we have, even at that particular university, we've graduated some of the staff who went through the same program, and everybody goes, well, you know, she really, don't give her that work because she can't really handle it. And that's perpetuating, you know, oppression and racism. You know, I mean, that's not empowerment. That's not helping a person, you know, improve their quality of life and all this good stuff. And then we laugh, I mean, on so many levels, laugh at them.
Yeah.
We say, oh, we have to be inclusive. And we, you know, my friend told me, don't you talk about hair on the show.
What?
Yeah.
You never think that something so ridiculous like hair is a political statement. But just to mention it, you know, anybody knows Michelle Obama and her style?
Uh-huh.
And she got out of office. She got all kind of braids and twists and everything.
Twists and everything.
Culturally, expressing that would have been intimidating to people when she was the first lady, because it's not Eurocentric, it's Afrocentric.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's ridiculous.
People are threatened by that for no reason at all.
Hairstyle.
But listen, here's the point, though, we say, oh, we have to be inclusive. And I had, you know, we had, one student came to me once and said, you know, the professor went in class and said, oh, it was a black lady with locks, and said, oh, I just love your hair, and started touching it. I mean, that is sexual harassment, if you want to ask me. But they're trying to be inclusive, and they're trying, and then they're still othering it, you know, othering it, making it other than, which is like, you know, I know there's a history on the hair. That's why my friend said, don't you talk to them about it. But I have so many, you know, questions, because I asked that questions of my student once. You know, I asked, I'm going to talk about it. He's going to kill me. About the wigs that women wear.
Oh, you got to come back. We got to talk about this, Dr. G. You have got to come back.
The psychology of the hair, the history of the hair.
Yeah, because
of your hair.
You have to get somebody on the show, Frances Ellis. She owns a Better Tomorrow on the West Side. You know her? If not, you got to know her. She's a cosmetologist, and she is teaching hair and braiding.
Somebody needs to teach it, because black women are going bald at an enormous rate because of the glue, the hair, the wigs. It's ridiculous. And until we come to a decision that our hair is beautiful just like it is, we will continue to have this issue.
You know, it was funny because I was talking to some people once. I was just asking questions about it, so I learned a lot of stuff about it. But I was also told, Dr. G, we love you, but don't you ever talk about hair with black women. I go, okay. But I told them, I said, well, I had a perm. I told them, and there was a guy in that group too. And I said, well, I had a perm. You know, I had a poodle perm that was very popular at one time where, you know, it's all tight curls, right? And I, as you can see, I have, you know, bad hair.
A poodle perm. Never heard that one before.
Yeah,
okay.
It was just like a poodle. I have a photo of that. And he said, how could you have a perm? Because in the black community, perm is when you make it flat. And to me, it was when I made it curly.
That's a relaxer.
Right, right.
That's the difference between white hair and black hair, supposedly, is that you perm.
The science of that.
Yeah, the science of that, yeah. You wear a perm, we wear relaxers.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, you know, the point that this is even an issue with all the crazy fashion and all the things that we're doing, but people need to understand, you know, where some of this comes from and accept it, you know. I mean, it's no big deal. I just don't get it. I honestly, that part I don't get. So I don't understand why that's an issue. But I do understand there is a history of why it is a sore subject. So if you want to have a show, get Frances Ellis, too.
Okay, please send me her information. It's 925. I've got a 930 Zoom. We got 2 minutes, so let's get a last call in here. 312-848. Open your mic. Opening your mic. You want to comment? 312-848. What's your name? Where are you calling from? 312-848. Last call.
All right.
Oh, hi, Rashida. You got about 60 seconds, dear.
I didn't know I was coming on to speak, but I don't know. I had an episode happen here in my house today. I mean, after today, this weekend, a person that I know brought over a gift, and it happened to be a European. So, you know, I have some Europeans in my family, but I didn't appreciate her behavior. She came in, she sat down, she didn't speak, and she just convinced her to smoke her stuff, and I told her that wasn't the type of behavior we have in the household where I live. So I left she and he here for about 3 or 4 hours. I came back and I had some quarters missing, and I asked about them, and then she denied, and he said he didn't see it. So I asked him to leave, and she told me, "I'm not going nowhere, B-I-T-C-H." Now, I don't even know her name. I didn't get aggressive about anything missing. I just spoke on her behavior before. So I said, "You will have to leave, you know, because I don't appreciate your attitude or behavior, and I haven't done anything rude to you." And she became very aggressive. She didn't look like one of those good old Europeans. But the men that was here entertaining her, when I asked her out, they didn't pursue it. And she told me she wasn't going anywhere.
Wow, so, and came to your house. Wow, that's rude.
And the two black men pushed me away because I had almost lost my temper, and because I was going to take her and put her on out, because I asked her out, and I was nice to her, you know, even though I didn't stay here entertained because I didn't like the way they were entertained. So,
wow.
You know, I had co-leased with somebody, so I left that the owner here. And when I asked her out, she told me she wasn't going nowhere until she found her pants. I said, "You have your pants on that you had on." I couldn't believe. And then she called me B-I-T-C-H and told me she wasn't going anywhere, and then called me ugly.
Oh, wow.
And
well, I'm so sorry that we're but it's 9:28, baby. We got to go. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that information. You be sure and call back in on the show when we have Dr. Frances Ellis. Was that Dr. G? Yes. You be sure and call back in on that show. Thank you so much for your call. It is time. It is 9:29. I got a 9:30 Zoom, y'all. Thank you so much.
Good to meet you.
Yes.
Let's talk. Okay, keep it up.
And
all right.
We will see you on Monday Morning Mindfulness next week, same place, same time. We will do it all over again as we continue to celebrate her story here on The Female Solution, as I leave you with a short reminder of why we are here. Thank you so much. See you tomorrow morning, 7 till 9 a.m. with Jody Susan, self-care, and we'll do it all over again, and I'll see you then. Thanks for watching.
The Female Solution, global radio TV show, invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday.